Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, brought to you by Tennessee Men's Clinic. Corey, good morning. How are you?
You know, one of these days, we're going to be more than good friends.
I agree.
We're going to be great friends.
Yeah.
And every Monday morning, I pray it's that day.
When the Bears win it all, we'll be besties.
You know, the Bears are on pace to go 24-0 right now.
They are.
They are running roughshod through this preseason.
I mean, they're amazing. Oh, the FanDuel Sportsbook preseason win total, 8.5 wins. Titans are only at 6.5. So high expectations for Chicago this year.
You know, I the way they're playing and just the way Caleb Williams looks, I kind of like the over.
Oh, boy. Corey's buying in. Corey's buying in.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
He's got the arm talent and the field awareness is pretty special. I mean, he can cash checks with his arm. All right. He makes throws that not everybody can make.
No doubt. No doubt about it. So, Corey, on the Titans front Saturday night, obviously the starting offense, two drives, two touchdowns. Now, granted, one drive started at the 15-yard line.
You know, you know, we qualify things unnecessarily. You still have to finish the drive.
That is true.
How many times, you know, with the red zone offense is a stat for a reason. And so it's a good start on that. We don't need to apologize for the Titans for having a good play on special teams.
So there you go. They had the good play on special teams, two touchdowns. What did you make of what you saw from the starting group on the offensive side of the ball?
Well, you know, I try not to overreact as I talk about the Bears going 24-0. I try not to overreact to early results. But, you know, some of the things that I do put weight into are, you know, the coaching elements. When you see them have zero first-half penalties, okay, they're prepared, they're disciplined, and they're ready. And all those things hit. And so, you know, the zero penalties, you know, zero first-half of a – Did they have zero turnovers in the first half?
Yeah, yep. They had the fumble in the second half, yeah.
Okay, yeah. And they had zero turnovers, you know, the first team offense, 2-for-2, and zero sacks allowed in the first half. I mean, the three of us may have had six last year. I mean, you know, everything's fixed, it's perfect? No, I don't. But those are really good numbers to start with and to build off of.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought those are good signs. Tavondre Sweat, I was hoping Corey would have like one of those one or two plays where it's like, oh my goodness, like we see all the time in practice. He didn't. Don't want to overreact to that either.
Yep.
But what was your thought just on that first drive with the defense, which unlike the offense was about half and half starters and not?
Yeah, and I think that showed. I mean, when you don't have Snead and Awuzie out there, that's a significant drop off. I mean, those guys have big contracts for a reason. They're supposed to be really good players. And you know, when you don't have Big Jeff out there with Sweat, you know, that's you're missing one of your very highest paid players. So, you know, those are significant losses for that group, but you wanted to see Sweat make a splash play. You know, you wanted to see him 3 yards deep, 4 yards deep in the backfield, you know, blowing something up. It didn't happen. I'm not going to freak out about it. I've seen too much in practice for me to freak out about it. Now, if we get through the preseason, you know, and again, I don't even know if he'll play this next week, you know, after the Seahawks come to town. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see because it was, like I said, it was one game. You know, the first drive they did go down the field. And I think what maybe is most concerning is they had to bring somebody to get pressure. They couldn't win with four.
How do you view where the last receiver spot currently sits? So assuming that they're keeping six, I mean, there's five that we know when everybody's healthy, right?
Keep seven.
I mean, they could keep seven. So how do you view where that stands in terms of who those, if it is seven, who the last two guys are? And do you give Kyrus Jackson a realistic shot given the electric return that he had the other night?
Yeah, and again, that's, you know, everybody, you know, I know he went to Georgia, and that automatically puts him like nine pegs ahead for everybody because he played in the SEC. But, you know, it's competitive back there. I mean, you know, we've got five, right? You know, you got Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, Burks, and NWI.
Yep.
And then it's how many do you keep, you know, after that? Jaquan Jackson's a draft pick. So do you think you can keep him on the practice squad, or do you have to keep him? Kyle Phillips had a really good camp. Mason Kinsey's had a really good camp. You know, I haven't seen a ton from Kyrus Jackson in camp. I've seen some drops from Kyrus Jackson in camp, but he did have an electric run on the kickoff return. But let me ask you guys, when the season gets here, is Kyrus Jackson returning kickoffs or is Tajay Spears?
Yeah, we were talking about that. Like, is it worth the risk in your mind to put him back there? And I know, you know, theoretically, you're supposed to have less collisions, less high-speed collisions at the kickoff return. But do you think it's worth it to put a guy who's going to play as much as Spears is going to play in your offense back at kick return?
Well, yeah, because he's going to split reps, all right? So I think it's the chance to get the ball in his hands again is the way I would look at it. You know, he's an electric player, and I like the opportunity to get the ball in his hands in space. And so I don't look at it with any trepidation, you know, whatsoever, because there is no one flying at him at 900 miles per hour. It's a mosh pit up ahead, and the Titans appear to have a pretty good plan for that mosh pit because they had excellent returns all night long, and they had excellent coverage all night long. When the NFL changed this rule, it was, you know, to have there be more kickoffs. I think 70% of kickoffs were touchbacks last year, and I think only 16% of kickoffs were touchbacks this week. So, you know, before they were trying to make the play safer, and they didn't make it safer, they just made it less frequent. This change truly makes it a safer play. So I'm not worried about Tajay Spears getting hurt on that play more than I am any other play. And like I said, it's another opportunity to get him the football in a year where, you know, they've got a lot of guys they need to get the football, and you're searching for ways to make sure everybody gets enough touches. And, you know, ideally he gets one touch a game back there, but we know that's not realistic. And so, you know, maybe he gets, you know, four or five extra opportunities to make a play for your football team.
To answer your question, I could see it being Spears or Jackson, but it'd be Jaquan Jackson. A great moment for Kyrus Jackson, but, you know, I don't think he does enough at receiver to, the return game outweighs that. Corey, at linebacker, and this is where it's like, okay, you know, the defense played a little bit bad first series, and then the starters are out of there and stuff like that. But I did think, you know, there were some mistakes with the starters. Chance Campbell flying around. Also, they've got some intriguing, like James Williams is intriguing for down the road. Mm-hmm. How do you look at, and we haven't seen much from Cedric Gray. How do you look at the linebacker, inside linebacker situation for this team right now?
Well, I mean, Cedric Gray is too high of a draft pick. He's going to make the football team. So that muddles up, you know, the spot, and it makes it more competitive. You know, that's one of the great things about the preseason is the lights come on and guys get a chance to show you what they can do in a game scenario. And yes, it's with backups on the field, but guys who make plays, you know, still are making plays. And Chance Campbell stood out because I think he made nine tackles, had a sack, a tackle for a loss, a pass defended, and an interception. I mean, he was all over the place. Look, he was a good player at Ole Miss. He was a tackle machine. So, you know, him coming in and making tackles isn't surprising. But in 2 years, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So you can't plan on him does that mean he doesn't make the football team? No, it doesn't. But it just means pump the brakes a little bit.
Corey, did you have a big problem with Will Levis taking the hit that he took on Saturday night? What did you make of that play?
I'm all about, you know, I understand a quarterback taking a hit. I'm not about a quarterback initiating the hit. Because I go back to 2019 when Marcus Mariota in the preseason against New England, you know, catapulted himself into the end zone on a two-point conversion and hurt himself. And so, you know, he doesn't need to hurt himself doing that. And I understand that's who he is, but we also saw him check down, and that necessarily wasn't who he was either. So, you know, I think what they can say all they want that they don't have a hard time with it, and sometimes guys need to give a hit. My guess is in the meeting room is don't ever do that in a preseason game again.
Yeah, I hear you. I thought I was saying this earlier. It was one of those. He was kind of slowing up. I think in a real game he launches himself to try to score. Well, and in this one he's kind of slowing up and he takes it from the side. I'm making excuses for him. What's that?
I was standing right there. That was a violent collision.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know that I'd say he initiated, though, did he? He was kind of slowing up, and then he took that shot from the side. Yeah?
He was leaning forward, all right? He wasn't trying to lessen the impact.
Get yourself out of the way in the preseason.
Slide at the one. Yes. I can't get the sliding at the one. I can't do
it's
it.
Preseason.
I can't get there. It's no football.
Throw it away.
That too.
Well, that one I would buy. Yeah. Try to sneak one in somewhere. I mean, they were all covered. Of course, they were covered in part because one of them was being held, but yeah.
Look, injuries happen, okay? Injuries happen. You can't run away from injuries, but you can be smart. All right? And, you know, we've seen quarterbacks over the years who are able to take care of themselves. You know, Russell Wilson, back when he was actually a good football player, was excellent at protecting himself. And there are other guys who've been, you know, who've had a skill at it. I mean, Joe Montana really protected himself well. It infuriated me as a Bears fan, seeing our guys try to get free runs on him only to have him just hit the deck and just eat the sack so we couldn't kill him. And, you know, Will looks like a water polo player. He's just ripped. But his arms and legs do break, and he does bleed. And I don't want any of those things to happen this year.
I would agree. Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff today. Great stuff on TV the other night. And thanks for being with us this morning.
I was particularly amazing today. I think I've sprained my shoulder patting myself on the back. But I'll get through to the Seattle practices.
I'm good. Good. I'm glad. Very good. Thank you, Corey.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Corey Curtis.
By the way, I expect to see a bunch of Malik next week.
I would say that's probably a good bet. I would say that probably happens. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest, old Robbie and Rexro. We'll react to what Corey had to say. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025 on Titans and their preseason win in game number one. Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063 the game. Indy racing fans, the Big Machine Indy Car Show. Excuse me. Forgive me. I read that wrong. The Indy Show Car, not the Car Show.
There you go.
The Indy Show Car. We'll be on display this Friday at Soar Adventure Tower in Franklin. Come check it out from 6 to 8 p.m. this Friday. And while you're there, register to win tickets to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix as well. Appreciate Corey Curtis for being with us in the last segment. As somebody pointed out on Twitter, if the Bears go 24-0, that's almost impossible because they would definitely get a first-round bye, you would think, going 17-0 in the regular season.
Come on, Corey. Get your math straight.
Be 23-0.
23-0.
Including the preseason. Yeah.
Plus, I think they might play 24 games. I think they'll probably lose a couple. So, I think 22-2 is a lot more, you know.
Okay.
Let's be realistic here, folks.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll see what happens on that front. Corey's buying into the Bears. 8.5 on the win total. Over under. FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams did make one really nice throw in the game.
He made a couple. I thought
he made one really nice throw.
Are you
he made
about
a couple
the,
good ones.
The one that
rolling
was
out
rolling
to the right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the best one. But there was another one that I was like, but yeah, you're right. That was the best one. Hey, he's tremendous talent, without question. You know, it's just
Titans are getting him early. That could be good. Could be bad. Who knows?
Yeah.
You got Marcus Mariota early if you're the Bucs, and it was bad. Didn't go well for the Bucs.
That's right.
Sometimes it's you don't figure guys out yet.
His career peaked in day one.
Yeah.
Mariota.
I mean, perfect passer rating.
Yeah.
Throwing touchdowns left and right.
And
Titans fans thought, oh, my God, we've got our guy.
Yeah. No.
Jameis sucks.
I remember that day.
Marcus is awesome.
So that was 2015.
Yeah.
2014, I saw him. I mean, I saw him in person at Oregon. He won my husband vote that day. So that day, watching him, I remember I was watching the game, a lot of the game, the Titans game. I was like, he is going to be an all-time great.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe in this guy. He's going to be an all-time great. 100%.
Didn't work out that way.
It did not. But I guess Caleb Williams overcame having, like, a bag that bothered people on the
reality. Oh, the purse?
Yeah. Is it a purse?
I don't know. It's just what people refer to it as. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw the clip of it. It's just like a satchel. Crap. What's an appropriate bag for a football player? Yeah, it's like a
I haven't seen it.
A bag, yeah. Is the bag he had? I'm sure there is. I mean, I saw it. I found it on the internet, and it's just like a it's almost like a briefcase, you know what I mean? But, you know, let's have some fake outrage.
I mean,
here on 102.5, 106.3 the game.
If they showed up with a briefcase, it'd be awesome.
Yeah,
it's a lost
briefcase
art.
And a suit.
Yeah,
wear a suit on the sidelines like Mike Ditka used to do.
Okay, I see it now. Looks like it's called a pouch. Apparently, a pouch.
A pouch.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
But the more you know. But he overcame that great embarrassment.
And threw some nice passes.
Play some good preseason football.
Yes. Titans going to get in week one.
Okay, go yard pouch.
Yeah, a pouch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's – good God. What are people – what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
Looking forward to seeing how that goes for Caleb Williams and the Bears. A lot of hype. I am convinced – we talked about this earlier – that by the time week one rolls around – they will be almost a touchdown favorite over the Titans. I'm convinced. I've talked myself into it today. The line's at 4.5 currently. I think it gets to 6.5 by the time game time comes around.
Like, did Kenny Pickett's MVP odds change during the preseason last year?
I don't remember, but, I mean, I know at least one place where they did.
Yeah. Did their over-under change through their amazing? Their offense looked fantastic.
I don't know. I just think, I mean, look, a lot of the lines are also – just like, you know, the sports book reacting to where the money's going. So I think you're going to see –
it's a big, enthusiastic fan base.
Yeah, like if Caleb Williams continues to light up, you're going to see Bears fans like, oh, the Titans, 4.5. Sell it.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go.
No, the money will go to the Bears, and the line will increase. So you know, hold on if you're a Titans fan or whatever.
Plus 6.5.
Get yourself 7.5.
Oh, man. And it still feels like that game is forever away because it kind of is.
4 weeks from yesterday. Ugh, very sad. That's where, like, I think what college football is, I mean, we're talking teens. We're in the teens with college football starting up, which is fantastic. But then you have to – that's the thing, you know. Take solace in college football starting up basically 3 weeks from Saturday. Like wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. 2 weeks. 2 weeks from Saturday, right? Is that week zero?
It would be 3 weeks. I mean, does anybody play on the 24th? I know Tennessee, like.
No, but Saturday. I'm saying from this coming Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday. Yeah, yes, like it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks from this coming Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty exciting.
It is exciting.
But yeah, the NFL stuff. Oh. That's the thing. Camp will be over. Preseason games will be over.
That's the thing.
And that is the new thing now. It's like then you
it's
just
2 weeks.
You just sit there.
Yeah. The preseason's over and it's like, oh good. Football's coming up. And oh wait, we gotta wait 2 weeks.
It's good for college football.
Yeah.
You know? To sort of have solo placement. I mean, we can't complain too much. The Olympics I thought were amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a really, really good Olympics. And it took us all the way to here.
Well, and we've got also a different, you know, the opening week of the NFL, too. You got the Thursday night game and then Friday night this year as well with the Packers, Eagles in Brazil, and then the opening Sunday. So we'll have 3 out of 4 days NFL football opening weekend.
I'm going to agree with Big Joe here. I really hate college and NFL on Friday.
I agree.
I'm
going to have to watch.
Let high school football. Right. Yeah. Of course you do.
Yeah.
But let high school football have Friday nights.
I agree. Totally agree.
Please.
Some takeaways from the Titans preseason game number one. We've talked a lot about the starters for the Titans on the offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. Kind of a half and half mix on the defensive side with the first drive for San Francisco with their backups kind of going straight down the field. So obviously not what you want to see there on the defensive side of the ball. I brought this up with PK though too. I was really encouraged by Pollard. You know, Pollard, if you just look at the numbers last year, did not have as strong of a year from a yards per carry standpoint. He was coming off the injury. I thought he looked good. I thought he was explosive in the game on Saturday, which was good to see.
I agree. Yeah, and that's a continuation. A lot of these things, it's like you see something in practice and then you expect to see it in a preseason game. Again, like Tavondre Sweat, I thought he'd make a loud player too. He didn't. Not calling it a concern, but that didn't happen. Tony Pollard has looked really good in practice, I think. And I think he and Spears both look good. And that run was definitely it just looks like Tony Pollard in Dallas before he got hurt. And then even last year after he got healthy. It's a good football player. Calvin Ridley, that one play, that just stood out to me because, one, that was the one play from Levis that I thought was like, it was a 3rd and 10, obvious passing situation. The protection held up. It wasn't, you know, just a brick wall in front of him. It was closing in on him a little bit, but it held up. And he found Ridley, and then Ridley turns on the Jets, and you see a little bit of that. I mean, Ridley is he's an electric player. He's going to be a fun player to watch this year. So that play stood out for me too. And you just, you know, you're not getting from your key guys who are going to matter on a football team, you're not usually getting too many plays in a preseason game. At least the Titans gave the fans a few.
Got a texter that says, after Pollard's long run, Spears came on the field for him. Looked like Pollard told him no, and Spears headed back to the sideline, but the coaches sent him back out there, and it looked like Pollard reluctantly came off. Is there anything there?
Oh.
Do we already have trouble in paradise?
Well, that's good.
With the split running
I missed that, so I'll take your word for it, as long as you're not, you know, some of the people we've talked about earlier who make up 50-yard runs from Will Levis out of nowhere. That's interesting. Hey, you know, I guess maybe for Pollard it's like I'm the hot back after that run. Like, you got to keep me cooking. And maybe the coaching idea – well, actually, the coaching idea probably was, well, this play is a Tyje play we're going to run. But sometimes it could be you must be gassed. But that wasn't like a 60-yard run. So that's interesting. Hey, I'm sure both of them would love to – play more than they are. That's what NFL backfields are now, for the most part.
Trevor bringing up a great point on the text line that we've not discussed today. I look forward to seeing the defensive adjustments moving forward, since according to Arden Key, Bowen never fixed any issues.
So
it would be nice to, you know, the Titans to look on the film today, identify what went wrong on the defensive side of the ball, and actually try to fix it moving forward. That'll be good.
That's got to be weird.
Wait,
apparently in the past it was just like, did we play the other day?
Just rolling out. We're doing the same thing.
Just give me some stretching and let's have some fun today, fellas, huh? Then we'll go to the bar.
737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Got some tickets to give away. A 4-pack of tickets to the PBR Nashville Stampede Days at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, August the 16th. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to the PBR Nashville Stampede Days at Bridgestone coming up on Friday, August 16th. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. The NFC North, very lively in our text line today. We already have Bears fans saying that we're haters.
Yeah.
Viking Matt coming at me saying, Robbie, did you see a little J.J. McCarthy over the weekend? Packers fans better be nervous.
All I saw was his pick.
I did see that. He threw for like a .188 or something.
I think 200 plus.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good for him. My response was, did you see Jordan Love?
I like it. We got a little bit of back and forth in the NFC North.
Meanwhile, Lions, Hendon Hooker, out with a concussion on Friday. So, tough to see.
That is. Well, here you go. We got the highlight. Yeah, it's like, man, don't. I mean, he trucked a guy, which is awesome. It's awesome to truck a guy, but, man, he needs reps. And so now he's going to miss more time. It's not great.
I got a text that says, the right side of the offensive line looked as bad as we thought it would. Sweat was a non-factor in the first game. Linebackers played decently. Starting secondary got torched in the first drive. Now, keep in mind, while that may have been the starting secondary in the game, that will not be the starting secondary when game one rolls around. But
right.
I did not walk away from the game the other night thinking that the right side of the offensive line was just a problem on the two touchdown drives that they had.
No, I mean, there were a couple plays that I think NPF would want back.
Yes.
And same with Latham. Latham got beat pretty badly on an outside move one time, but no, I disagree. I don't think the right side of the offensive line looked as bad as you thought it would. Again, it's all relative to your expectations. Like Sweat, was he a disappointment the other night? I just thought he'd make a loud play or two, and he didn't, because he's been making loud plays all over the place. The right side of the offensive line has had some rough reps in practice. I actually thought it was an improvement from my expectations. And again, it's pretty early here for Nicholas Petit-Frere. And right now,
and he's playing against backup, so keep that in mind too.
No doubt. So that's always part of it too. But I didn't think it was like a discouraging thing. You know that the top player for PFF and a guy who got mentioned from Brian Callahan is Andrew Rupsich. For the record, PFF's highest graded Titan was Andrew Rupsich, and Callahan singled him out yesterday in his press conference. So saying.
Do you think he could start at right guard?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I guess if he continues to.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't think so. I think he's a depth guy, but hey, good for him.
It was. I mean, the Titans did introduce the offense for the starters the other day, and it was funny
because,
you know, Will Levis got this big cheer. Calvin Ridley got a big cheer. They announced Dylan Raidens, and it was just like, all right, way to go.
Did I notice that. Did he get – I didn't
– nobody got booed or anything. It was very subdued would probably be the right word.
I didn't start paying attention until, like – I think it was like – I was wondering about the running back, and then they introduced them both.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay. They're absolutely splitting this down the middle. It's Pollard and Spears. But, yeah, I didn't notice the Raidens.
I did.
The quiet.
It was pretty funny.
Moment of silence for Dylan Raidens as a starter.
All right. Good stuff out there. Now, granted, I mean, the stadium at that time, it felt like it was like half full of Niners fans, which we discovered earlier in the show. Has to be a result of the amount of California transplants we have here and not all these Californians traveling for a preseason game in which none of their starters were going to play. That's at least my hope.
Yes. Yes. The town I live in is completely California. I am outlawed almost for not being from California.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Dennis says,
have taken over this state, this city.
Looked like some decent tight end play on Saturday. What did you make of what you saw from the tight end? I mean, we didn't see a ton of Chig and Wiley,
No. But
what did you make of what we saw from the tight ends?
Yeah, I mean, very little from both of them. The Spears running play, speaking of offensive line play, there was some serious big-time run blocking, including a very nice down block from Chig on that one. So I saw that. One guy we haven't talked about on the reserve pool here is David Martin Robinson. And he continued to look he's very big, very powerful, moves pretty darn well too. So he's an interesting guy. He's one of those guys that I would say at the back of the roster, you know, it's interesting keeping an eye on him. You can't help but notice that guy.
Yep. And I thought too, I mean, when you mentioned Gabe Judy-Lally on the defensive side of the ball. He's gone from an undrafted guy to a guy that at this point in camp, I'm not going to say it's a certainty, but don't you feel pretty darn good about him making the team? Like, with what he's done throughout the offseason program and now into camp, like, it feels like Gabe Judy-Lally, the Valdor, is going to be on this football team.
The Valdorger.
That's true.
He's a Cougar.
That's true.
Valdorger
too. That's a lot of college football.
That is. Yeah. It just goes to show you, if you are developed at both Tennessee and Vanderbilt, you're pretty much a can't miss NFL player.
Yep.
From what we've seen. No, I think he is. I think he's going to be on this team. He's pretty consistently solid out there. And frankly, like, there's an example of someone who watched him a lot in college. I wouldn't have guessed that. You just don't know.
I'd never watched him play in college and thought NFL player.
Right.
Yeah.
But he has worked, and he's pretty much in the right spot and makes some plays. So I think he's in good position to make the team.
I got a text that says, man, these people are killing me. It's preseason. Everyone needs to calm down. I don't need to get too excited or to start hating on them. I understand. Yeah, it is preseason.
What else are we going to do?
We got to react to get what we saw out there, man.
Exactly.
It's game one.
What else are we going to do? I got dragged on Twitter yesterday by people, you know, going for clicks because I just wrote that, like, Tavondre Sweat so far he's a practice wrecker. He's not a game wrecker
yet. We've already started the clicks.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Going for the clicks. I'm like, it was like my fourth item. I mean, I should have gone a little higher if I was going for clicks.
But yeah, maybe so.
But look, all you can do is you get information and then you react to it. And so, but yeah, you want to put it in the proper context. There's nothing to get.
Look, I've already told you guys heading into the year, I am going to take basically nothing away from training camp in the preseason. That has been my approach the whole time. And I am trying my best to stand by it as much as I can heading into all this.
Yeah. Nothing's a big word. I'm not going to take nothing, you know, like. Well, it depends on what you mean. Like, obviously, making the 53,
sure,
a lot of what we see matters.
Yeah.
And so the depth of the team is impacted greatly by these things. In terms of the Treylon Burks thing, I get it, right? Like, with some players. But we've also – what are good examples of, you know, preseason you saw something? You know, Ola Daney. Ola Daney, no one had a freaking clue who he was, and he actually – turned out to be a nice situational pass rusher for a couple of years. You know, like, they're like, sometimes that, I guess that's still a back of the roster kind of story. Top of the roster story. I mean, I think.
I'll amend my statement. Tony Pollard looked good. So it was good to see. You've seen Tony Pollard play well before. The big question with him is, like, is he fully recovered from the injury that was clearly holding him back last year, and it appears that he is.
Okay, well, here's where you're not taking nothing. You've watched Latham, and you think he's going to be good. And if you didn't watch any of this, then you wouldn't know, right? Like, you'd have no idea.
No, I did watch him for 4 years at Alabama, too. Now, he played a different position then.
Yeah.
But, yes, on the left side, to your point, yes, I will amend my statement. I'm not taking nothing away from the preseason.
And Sweat.
I've taken very limited information from the preseason.
Yeah, that's fine. Literally. I'm literally taking nothing.
Yes.
Sweat is another guy who, and that's the thing, it's like, I don't know, he's been working next to Simmons. Again, I don't think the other day it was a concern. Someone texted like he just didn't look like he was even trying. Well, that's not true. And he did. He got pushed a couple of times. He got doubled, I think, a lot of the snaps. He didn't get doubled every snap. He got doubled a lot of the snaps. He's going to have to be doubled. Again, I think he's going to be good this year. I don't know how many snaps. And a preseason game is not going to tell you that.
Right.
He did play, I think, the first. He finally came off, and I think he played like six or seven in a row, which I guess you could take that. That's a good thing to be out there.
Yep. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. So I'm with you 100%, dude. Like, I was out of town, so I missed it. I watched it late. And I start seeing all this Titans Twitter that's like, these dudes, we're going to Super Bowl. Like, from what our starters look like, we're going to Super Bowl. I watched it back, and I'm like, okay, so what I learned was we're going to dump it off to the running backs because we don't have a tight end to throw it to. It looks like he's really comfortable throwing it to a running back. And then we got gashed on the only run play that they did that was structured. We got gashed on. So I'm like, That's exactly what I knew we were going to do. Like, this team hasn't shown me anything from the first preseason game. Like, good or bad, you know, like, they could have a lot of tricks that I don't know anything about. But I still think we leave a lot to be desired in run defense right now, and also, like, the tight end position. So, I don't know. I didn't really learn anything at all, dude.
Yep, thanks for the call, Adam. I mean, just hesitate to take any grand takeaways from preseason. We brought up the example earlier, the 0-8 Detroit Lions, baby.
Well,
0-16 in the regular season.
Yeah.
4-0. Outscored them people like 84-27 in the preseason.
Yeah, results certainly not a thing, which is why the questions after the game about like a win mattering and stuff, like, no, stop. David, though, says even though it's a preseason, you have to find a way to make it enjoyable. So you find guys who are on the fringe, you watch them, root for them.
Sure.
I don't see why it's such a big deal to try and make the preseason as exciting as possible. Sure.
Look, I have no problem with trying to make stuff as exciting as possible.
If you're a fan who's so into your team that you're really into, like, the third running back battle, the sixth corner battle, the fifth safety, whatever, first of all, that's awesome. And, yes, then this is a lot more interesting for you. Yeah, if you're trying to take sweeping conclusions about the key people, it's usually not a good idea.
Pretty limited. 615-737-1025. Final thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. You brought up Latham, and it was up and down. He gave himself a C after the game Saturday. I do think there were a few reps in there where you can see just the full package that he brings to the table. And I don't know exactly what that's going to translate into in terms of his ability to stay healthy and his ability to be the type of franchise left tackle that you look at and say that's a 10-year foundational player. But when he's on, man, does he look impressive. And I thought there was a couple of those on Saturday where he just looked really darn impressive out there.
Yeah. And then I looked, his reaction after the game, I mean, some people will be like, you know, and I think he said it multiple times. I went up to him and I was just like, well, how do you evaluate your game? And he said immediately, see. I think he had said it already earlier to some other reporters, but. You know, some people look at that and say, well, that's, you know, player speak or whatever. But I think that exactly speaks to who he is. Like, he is driven to be great, which is a huge part of this. Like, there's effort and intensity. None of these guys quit. None of them don't care or anything. But then there's, like, a higher level of care where, you know, like, this is a guy that, as we've talked about, they've had to say, no, man, you can't be out here in the field working right now, you know, things like that.
There's a thunderstorm going on. Get off the field.
Yeah, and I think that he's got the, to borrow a Tim Corbin phrase, he's got the fibers to be great. Like, right now, I'm not basing on the preseason game. I'm basing it on everything we've seen and heard from him. I would bet on him being a foundational player.
Yeah, and again,
doesn't mean he'll be perfect.
There are a couple reps Saturday where he got beat. And you're going to see that throughout the season. I mean, there's some pretty good pass rushers in this league. So there will be times this year where Latham gets torched by somebody.
Sure.
And there's going to be some film that he puts out there that doesn't look very good. Although, you know, Brian Baldinger has put it out there right now, talking about the left side of the Titans offensive line, about those two specifically in run blocking and like how they're just road graders out there with him and Skoronski and what that could mean for them this year.
By the way, I didn't see the PFF grades, but I thought Skoronski had some run and pass blocking reps that were really good the other night. Yes, I saw Baldinger.
Was he huffing and puffing?
And I don't know. He better not have been breathing heavily after that. He better not have. He better have just gone right to the sideline and done some jogging, okay? But I did see Baldinger's breakdown, and yes, he absolutely loves those guys.
Yep.
And there are some great examples of them just destroying people. So,
well, and the hope is, especially when you got two young guys like that, that as the season goes on and they play more together, and you can have this thought about everybody, like the more they play together, the better off they should be. But I think particularly when you're talking about young guys who don't have that much NFL experience, you're hoping that the upside is that there's dramatic improvement between now and the end of the season. Like, there are offensive lines around the league, both good and bad, that have enough veteran guys where you just kind of know what they are. Like, that's what they are, And sometimes it's a really good thing, sometimes it's not. With these guys, particularly Latham, like his starting point and where he's at right now, I think is super encouraging because of where what that means where he might end up, like where he how good he might get as the season goes along here, I think is really encouraging, exciting.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. And going to the right side, I just, again, people saying they looked as bad. You go back and watch the Levis to Ridley play, 3rd and 10. You know, the right Raidens and Petit Frere, again, yes, it's not the 49ers starters, but they took on a twist and they handed it off perfectly. They communicated. It was exactly what you want to see in terms of working against a twist from a guard and a tackle. And it's, I mean, look, the pocket, it wasn't like just a, you know, like Levis is back there making a sandwich, but it gave him enough time. That was the difference. It gave him enough time to get rid of that ball to Ridley.
Yeah. So all in all, I think some encouraging things to build on if you're Brian Callahan in game one. This week going to be interesting. The Seahawks coming into town, so there will be some entertaining practices. I hope Jamal Adams is back on the field. Diggs and Adams back against their former team.
Yeah.
Certainly an intriguing thing this
week. Watch out for that DK Metcalf.
Well, there's that too.
Whew.
Make sure you keep the helmet out of his hand.
Jeez.
And then, I mean, what does that mean for Saturday night in terms of who plays and who doesn't? I don't know. We'll see the quality of work that they get in this week. But all in all, I think some positive things for the Titans to build on in preseason game. Number one, you know, Rudolph and Willis, I would imagine those two guys are going to get a lot of work in the game itself coming up this week. Feels like Rudolph is definitely QB2. Willis is QB3. So what does that mean for roster construction and what they're going to do there? But I think all in all, some things to be pretty encouraged by if you're the Titans in preseason week one.
Yes. On that point of the quarterbacks, Matthew Nashville asks about, well, he's saying the Steelers starting underside center. I did not see that. Underside guard at center. Guard. But he asked about the backup quarterback battle. I don't think it's a battle. It's good to frame it as a competition, but the question at quarterback is it's the Titans. Are they keeping a third? And yep. Are they keeping Malik Willis, who is the third quarterback? He's improved for sure. He had, to me, the dime of the night the other night, that throw to, I think it was to Oliver, but it was a penalty, but it was a heck of a throw. But, yeah, Mason Rudolph is going to
be a nice play scrambling, too.
Sure.
He looked fine.
I mean, I would lean toward keep him. I think they will, but you can certainly make the case that you don't have to have a third quarterback. It's just, you know, it's so much of it. The answer to that isn't just him. It isn't just that room. It's all the rooms. And it's like, no, we have to keep whatever. David Martin Robinson, whatever it is. You know, corners. I mean, it's the whole picture of the roster. So I think it's going to be really interesting, and I think it could go either way.
Do you think they could keep – I mean, Corey was talking earlier this hour about 7 receivers. Do you think they could keep 7 wide receivers?
I'd be surprised if they did. You know, I'd be surprised if they did. The 6 to me right now, my guess would be Jaquan Jackson after that. My next one might be Mason Kinsey.
I mean, that's not crazy.
If they keep a 7th, that my pick might be Mason Kinsey. But I'm thinking it'll be 6. We know the 5.
Dennis says that game made him wish that Josh Dobbs was still the backup here.
He was fun, wasn't he?
He was.
He's always fun. He's there, and he's in that spot there. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe he can beat out Brandon Allen for QB2, but right now he's QB3 there.
Yep.
I mean, which is a heck of a QB3, and I think he's a good QB2.
Look, I think Rudolph is fine as QB2. Now, I just played you another Jameis video.
Oh, boy. Man,
I know. Another pregame speech for him to add to the vault.
Amazing. For a preseason pregame speech. Like,
it was unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Jameis. We appreciate it. But Rudolph's fine as QB2. And, again, demonstrated success in an actual game, which I put some stock into.
Yeah, and he's been playing well.
Yeah.
So if you want to take anything from that.
And again,
or if you don't.
That is the part about the preseason that is always funny. Like, we spend a lot of time talking about these guys, and then the hope is once the regular season comes around that you don't talk about most of these guys ever again the whole season.
Exactly. Coy in Clarksville bringing up Logan Woodside. We'll have to get to that tomorrow, Coy.
Oh, boy.
He did look good in the preseason,
he
though.
He did. That's going to do it for us today. Hope everybody has a great rest of their Monday. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. I'll have you covered on all the happenings from the Titans over the weekend as well. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.